SBS Filipino.
Peter, you came to the Philippines recently as a representative of the International Coalition for Human Rights. So what did you basically witness in your short trip?
Okay, I think I could sum it up by saying I saw a lot of distressed evacuees from Marawi City, and I also saw that the leadership of the human rights movement in the Mindanao at the community level is very, very apprehensive of a repression coming from the Duterte government. There's already martial law in Mindanao, but they feel there will be a big roundup of people like themselves. They'll be all arrested. And so they're in their minds preparing for a very difficult time.
But this seems to be contrary to the pronouncements of the government that they're doing all the best and the Marawi residents are all in acceptance of what the government has been doing. Of course, basically, we would think that this is just propaganda. So can you just clear this up?
Yes, well, I didn't meet one of the evacuees. I must have met hundreds, maybe a couple of hundred between in November trip and the February trip, and not one is accepting what the Duterte government is doing with Marawi City. So they basically have been denied the right to return to their former homes once the fighting had stopped. And the news coming through is that Ayala Corporation, the Asian Development Bank, other big institutions have got a big plan to redevelop the urban area of Marawi City, which has been destroyed in the fighting. So the people really are seeing that they're going to be excluded from their ancestral home, and they're very, very angry.
Yes, and just recently a consortium for rehabilitation comprising of Chinese corporations, I think, and Filipino companies was awarded to the contract to rehabilitate Marawi. So your thoughts on that?
Well, I think this just endorses what I just said to you, that in fact it's a big corporate plan backed by the government, and there's obviously a lot of money to be made in grabbing lands that people are excluded from by the military. So it's really a very cheap acquisition of real estate for mega developments.
So you think this is just basically to grab the Lumad lands,
They would say the Maranao people's lands, they're Moro people, but that's their ancestral domain as well. So, yes, it's a land grab.
And should this be the case, how do you foresee Marawi soon or in 5 years or in 10 years?
Bring
in more trouble?
Yeah, actually, we say 5 months or 6 months, you will see fighting. You will see fighting in Marawi area. So it's the opposite of what should happen. There's been too much bloodshed and destruction, but the people will not accept that their land would be stolen. So I'm hearing their voices when I visit. They're saying there'll be trouble. People will shift to the extreme. They are provoking violence. So that's their reference to Duterte. So that's it.
When you came to the point of where a martial law has already been imposed, so martial law is there, but how would you describe martial law there right now?
Martial law for the Marawi people, they see it as the main way to block their return to their homes. Some of the older displaced people said they were frightened by the prospect of the Maute and that they thought that it was necessary to have something like martial law to protect them from terrorists. That's definitely part of the opinion. And more generally, there's a curfew going with martial law. So if someone gets sick at night among these displaced people, they cannot go to a doctor. They have to wait till curfew is lifted in the morning. Going to the shop late for something that they need urgent, they can't do it. So there's a sort of a disruption of normal life already anyway with the martial law.
And you expressed a concern that a new constitution will be forwarded soon during the next SONA. Can you elaborate on that, Peter?
There's a lot of discussion in the Philippines about a federal constitution, and there's even a plan, it's apparent in the Congress, that the Congress will be converted into a constituent assembly, and that will change the constitution.
When do you think will that happen?
Sometime later this year. We're talking, I think the expectation is August, September. And the way the Congress is working right now, President Duterte will have no trouble getting the Congress representatives to do this.
And that means a shift of government from the current one to a federal form of government.
That's the proposal, but this is where it might be in trouble because different groups of powerful people in the Philippines are jockeying, you know, how many provinces would there be in this federation? Would there be 5? Would there be 15? Who will be in command of this one and who will be in command? So there's already some conflicts happening. I think there's the Speaker of the House, his name is Alvarez. He comes from Mindanao and he's already having a public brawling with Sara Duterte. And it's really about where will be the boundaries of the province that Davao is in.
And we all know that the Australian government is basically dancing to the tune of the government right now because of its vested interest, I suppose, the interest of the government. Well, it got several interests. One of them is the aid, the interest to the development aid to the Philippines, which basically to protect also the business interests of Australian businesses.
Yes, it's always been that way, but most of the Australian aid to the Philippines has been in Mindanao for four decades, yes. And most of it's really been playing a role in the bigger counterinsurgency strategies. So it's mainly been road building. Some school support went along with the MILF peace plan. So it's, you know, it all related to our politics, actually, and containing protests and armed resistance and so on. So, yes, Australia wants a payoff in terms of mining investments for Australian mining companies. But, you know, there's been a shift. So initially, up until Marawi City, Australian political commentary was critical of President Duterte for his misogyny and the war on drugs. But that really has almost disappeared.
Yes. So why do you think that has happened?
It's because the bigger agenda of the war on terrorism is a global agenda run by the United States, and Australia is a very loyal ally of the United States. And so President Duterte is now acceptable in this bigger framework where he was unacceptable before it became apparent.
And because we all know that Australia was the first government to express assistance, help to in the rehabilitation of Marawi immediately after the bombing of Marawi, right?
I think that they were, but several other countries also came in strongly. Yeah. And Australia's commitment is not very big, you know. It's $26 million over 4 years, so it's like $6 million and a bit each year. So it's not extravagant, but it's certainly a commitment. I can't see virtually none of it has been going to be spent on rehabilitating Marawi City.
So what you're basically saying is that Australia's involvement or changing of tune to the present Duterte government is basically brought about by the global war on terror more than anything else, and other issues like human rights issues or South China Sea security issues, they all be subservient to those to that prevailing issue.
Yes, except that I would say that China is the real key to this situation, and Marawi City gave an excuse, you know, to bury these criticisms of Duterte about human rights and focus on the military geopolitical situation. So I think that they know that Mauti and Isnilon Hapilon were not a significant threat to anyone, but it was a fantastic opportunity to make this shift. And Duterte is now locked into the US strategy on China. So I think it's been a terrific advance in their strategy that this has happened in the last year or so.
Going back to Marawi, last question. Will there be an improvement in Marawi, you think, in the next 3 to 5 years, the rehabilitation effort, or it will get worse?
I think that there'll be an effort made to build mega malls and hotels and resorts around Lake Lanao and in the Marawi City area. But I think this will be undone by resistance from the people. So I don't want to see any of this. It's doing too much conflict and destruction, but that's the way that's been driven, and so I'm fearful, yes, that this is actually maybe there'll be a sort of narrative that's all these big companies are doing their very best and these ungrateful local people are trying to blow up their trucks, blow up their building sites, but I'm afraid that is what's going to be likely to happen.
Thank you for your time, Peter.
Nais na makarinig ng iba pang kwento tulad nito? Mag-subscribe sa ating regular na podcast sa iTunes.